distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Humanity coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from our God, who was, who is, and who is to come. We begin the season of Advent by having our mindset, our calendar, our world upended. The world around us presses toward Christmas, if not fully celebrating it already. And Advent breaks in and invites us instead to slow down and to practice waiting. Advent offers us a time to prepare and, of course, on our minds as preparation for the celebration of Christmas. But the truth is that such preparation does not just involve waiting to celebrate the birth of Christ. It involves all the details of these coming days that can feel so burdensome. Frantic shopping for presents and provisions in what little spare time we have, getting ready to travel or host or spend time with family, or for others, preparing in dread for another holiday alone, isolated in our grief, feeling obligated to show up amid strained relationships, praying that the family doesn't bring up politics once again. And then we think of the primary aspect of this season that feels so purely beautiful and redeeming, the celebration of Christ's birth, will be foremost, and Advent instead meets us on day one with texts about the distressing events of the end times. It asks us to prepare for Christ's coming at the end of time, not just at the celebration of Christmas. And so Advent can be quite unsettling. It can upend our routines and all our expectations of the season. In our first reading today, though, the prophet Jeremiah is speaking to a people whose lives and whole world are about to be upended. The armies of Babylon are advancing on Jerusalem, and Jeremiah's proclamations of judgment, which warned the people what would happen if they didn't change their ways, all those warnings have been ignored and have landed Jeremiah in prison. When Babylon does arrive, everything will change, and not in a good way. The temple, the people's center of worship, the home of God among them will be destroyed. The people will be removed from their homes and taken away to live in exile. Everything will be different than the life they know. In the face of ongoing warnings of judgment, in the face of devastating loss, the prophet in our reading today finally offers the people a glimpse of hope. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, but I will fulfill the promise I made. I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, who shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. The people of Israel had been looking again for a king like David, considered their greatest king, one who would initiate a time of God's justice and mercy. In those days, we hear in this text, Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall finally live in safety. In that time, everything will be transformed, the people will be restored, their land will be redeemed, and even the name of it will change to the Lord is our righteousness. The faithful promise of God, even in the midst of darkness, will not be forgotten. The promise is meant, of course, to sustain and strengthen people through their loss, through their grief, through their struggles, assuring that God will still be with them and that one day God's true justice and righteousness will come to pass and be realized among them. Luke's gospel speaks to an audience who has faced similar tragedy. Jesus has just told his disciples that the temple, rebuilt since the time of the Babylonian exile, would fall again at the hands of Rome, and that in those days his followers would face false prophets and troubles and persecutions. The disciples have asked for a sign of when those days would come, and so that is where we pick up Jesus continuing his teaching in our gospel today. He uses apocalyptic imagery, imagery used to refer to revelations about what will happen at the end time. Jesus says there will be many signs, not just one, of what is coming upon the world. These signs in the sun and moon and stars, these signs of distress among the nations, consumed by the roaring of the sea and the powers of the heavens being shaken, these would suggest that whatever coming is certainly not good. It's no wonder that people are fainting from fear and foreboding, as the text says. But even when it feels, even when it seems, as if the powers of the heavens are shaken, this announcement is ultimately one of promise again. What is coming upon the world is the Son of Humanity, Jesus coming again, who will assure that God's reign is finally at hand. The call for people of faith, those who have trusted that promise, is not to shrink back in fear, but to raise their heads and embrace the gift of God's redemption at hand. The time of persecution and terror will end. The people will be delivered from their troubles. Jesus illustrates further by sharing a brief parable about a fig tree. The fig tree was often used as a symbol of peace and prosperity for Israel in the Hebrew scriptures. And so this image functions here in much the same way as the righteous branch of David does in Jeremiah. Luke's gospel adds an interesting element here, though, with the words, "and all the trees." If the sprouting of the leaves is from all the trees and not just the fig tree, this is a sign that would indicate that the coming reign of God will not just be for the benefit of the fig tree, not just be for the restoration of Israel, but for all the nations and all the world. This can be a sign of hope for us today, too, as we long for the justice and peace and healing for so many who are in need among us and throughout the world. And so what do we do in the midst of troubling times, knowing the promise that God is coming near? In the last paragraph, Jesus offers practical guidance for living for those who understand that this day, the day of Jesus coming again, the fulfillment of God's reign, is indeed to come. Because this message is one of promise, the people are encouraged not to be weighed down by their current worries, not to be weighed down by dissipation and drunkenness, but to be on guard, in control of yourself and all your faculties, so that you can be aware that the day, whenever God comes to you, does not catch you unexpectedly. Be aware and pray so that when the day comes, you are ready to stand, so to speak, and raise your heads to greet the Son of Humanity when he comes. As the season of Advent begins, we join the people in today's readings in hearing God's call to be watchful, at a time when, frankly, it's perhaps most difficult for us to do so. When we are the busiest, when we feel some of the most intense pressure to get things done, to make everyone around us happy, while not always finding any time to care for ourselves. We read these readings also at a time when, based on the unfolding of history, we're frankly pretty unlikely to be expecting Jesus to be coming anytime soon. For some, it's tempting to look at the troubles of the world and the natural disasters we see as a sign of the end times because it helps us think we might be part of something important. But really, we've grown complacent. We don't expect God to show up. We don't look for Jesus coming every day because generation after generation has not seen the return of Jesus despite all these signs around us. But this doesn't give us license to remain in our complacency, because that's not what faith is about. God's invitation to faith leads us beyond what we expect and calls us to think beyond our resignation to routine. We are encouraged to live and carry ourselves as if Jesus' return is imminent. As Luke scholar Alan Culpepper says, those living under Jesus' reign and power can live expectantly, filling their days with activity that is meaningful because it responds to God's mandate and contributes to the fulfillment of God's purposes for human life, that is to say, the fig tree and all the trees, all this world. So even if we don't think Jesus is coming tomorrow, even if we don't expect that to happen, we are to live as if he will, not wasting time with mere self-indulgence and self-fulfillment, but instead answering the call of our God to serve others, to work for justice and peace, to contribute positively to the lives of those around us, so that they too may be ready to receive Christ when he comes. But I think above all, our struggle with these words may be that we hear them at a time when we don't feel capable of being alert and responding ourselves. And this comes because of so many concerns that consume us. We know that nations around us are in distress. Our own nation feels like it's in distress, that things have been shaken. Earthquakes and other phenomena continue around us, and our local communities are still reeling from local tragedy. It's also a time when we ourselves perhaps feel like we could faint from fear and foreboding of what has come or what is to come. When the emotional weight that is upon us keeps us from looking beyond ourselves, because it already feels like our world has been shaped. Maybe not the events of the whole world around us, but the events of our world. The pain and grief over our loved ones that we've lost, the uncertainty of tests and possible diagnoses, unexpected illness and injury and job loss and changes in family structure, unwarranted judgment, hate, and persecutions for who we are or who we love, major transitions in which we don't know the best decision or the way forward, our expectations disappointed, our hopes at times shattered. But this, in this brokenness, in this pain, this is where the promises of the prophets, the hope of Jesus' apocalyptic sayings, become the most powerful and the most meaningful. As encouragement for the faithful, when the most basic foundations of life seem to be shaken, and when everything seems so bleak, the promise that in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the struggle, God is there. Jesus' words about the coming Son of Humanity reflect an assurance that even when the evidence is to the contrary, the world is in some way still ordered by God, who is in ultimate control. There is the promise that Jesus is near, on his way, willing to work grace and leading us toward redemption. There is the promise that the reign of God continues to unfold among us, even when we don't see it happening ourselves. We're reminded in Advent that this season is a gift to ask us to slow down, to not worry about or get caught up in the details, an opportunity to focus on and tend to that which is essential. A time to step back would be most needed. Advent gives us a chance to see the larger picture of what God has been doing and is doing, what God will do, continuing to work toward the redemption of our lives and the healing of the whole world. Christ has already been born. God's reign has already broken into this world and our lives, and so we know that God is always near. In the assurance that through Jesus our future is already secure, we need to be ready to stand up, raise our heads, and receive him when he comes. Not just in the end at the coming of the Son of Humanity in the clouds, when he comes to us anew each day with surprising and amazing acts and moments of love and grace. And